Amid Aleph, three lines from the end of the page, and the Schottenstein is 82A3. Shmuel Amr, okay. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing like this, the Pinchas story, okay? The Jewish guys were fooling around with the Midianite girls. The tribe of the Shimon went to their leader Zimri, and they said, "Why aren't you sticking up for us?" Bottom line is he took the shiksa, brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, is she allowed or not? Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. So he said, who permitted for you? Bas Yisrei. She's also not Jewish. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad. Pinchas came and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you taught us a law that a guy who's in middle of relations with a non-Jewish shiksa, the zealous people can kill him. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you may remember it, go do it. And Pinchas went, but it says over there in the pasuk, Vayad Pinchas, Pinchas saw. Pinchas saw. So the Gemara asked before, the Gemara is in the middle of now. What did he see? Okay? So the first thing he answered, what did he saw? He saw what was happening. He saw what Zimri was doing. And remember the halacha, the Moshe Rabbeinu told him that if you're having relations with a non-Jewish woman, a guy can kill him. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said like this, Ra'a, he saw, meaning he remembered, there's a pasuk that says like this, Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna, there's no wisdom or understanding or etza or counsel against l'neged Hashem when it comes to against Hashem. Meaning, there's a very important, interesting halacha. Kol makom sheyesh chilul Hashem, any place where there's a desecration of God's name, like in the Zimri story, in Chok and Kavod L'Rav, you don't even give respect to a teacher, to a Rav. Remember that Zimri was a leader, right? Like we learned before, the Gemara is telling him, who are you to make fun of Zimri? Zimri was a Jewish leader, the head of the tribe of Shimon. But he remembered the halacha, that any time there's a desecration of God's name, there's no Rav, there's no anybody. Everybody has to act accordingly. Okay, so then the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yitzchok Amar Abba Lazar, another interpretation, what did Pinchas see? Because the pasuk said Pinchas saw. So the question, right, what did he see? So it says, Rabbi Yitzchok Amar Abba Lazar, Rosh Shebam Malach V'yishchid Ba'am. Pinchas saw that the angel of death with coming and starting to kill people. There was an epidemic. 24,000 people died, the pasuk says. So Pinchas saw, physically, he saw that the angel of death was coming and working. So then the pasuk says, what did he do? He got up in the middle of the community. He took a spear in his hand, and he did what he did. So the Gemara says, the fact that it says he got up, right? He got up and took the spear, means number one he was sitting, and secondly he didn't have the spear in his hand. Okay, so mikan, it's interesting. From here, the Gemara said we learn halacha. She'nichnosim b'klei zayin lebeis hamedrash. You're not allowed to go with weapons into a shul, into your beis hamedrash study hall. In other words, because what does the pasuk say? Pinchas obviously was in the Beis Medrash, right? Because he was talking about the halacha of with Moshe Rabbeinu. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, you taught us a halacha that we have to go kill him. So he's obviously sitting in the Beis Medrash with Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, he came to Moshe Rabbeinu, who told him, go do it. So then the fact that it says he got up and he went and took a spear, meaning, number one, he was sitting and learning. And secondly, you're not allowed to have a spear, which is a weapon, in the Beis Medrash.
No exception.
Well, nowadays, though, what's going on? They're having people take...
Correct. So that's why there's an exception to that rule.
Here we go again. Except...
No, because it's not necessarily that loch anyway. Okay. So what did he do? He did like this. Now, you have to understand, Pinchas is coming into a war zone of Shimon. They're all fighting Moshe Rabbeinu. They're fighting establishment, right? With this girl. So Pinchas had to be careful the way he approached into this circle to kill him. So it says like this. Shalaf Shinana, he took off the metal tip of the spear. v'nicha b'unkele, and put it into his garment. We'll see why. Okay, next page. V'yanishan v'helecha makle. Okay, so he took off the metal part of the spear, so now it looked like a walking stick. So he's walking with this, officially with walking stick. Kivin shehegia eitzel shifter shel Shimon. Once he came to the tribe of Shimon, now he had to get in there. So he says, heicha matzino shifter shel Levi gadol mishel Shimon. He says, what do you think? Levi is better than Shimon? Moshe Rabbeinu could do this and he can't. Okay? What do you think? He said, I also want to sin. What do you think? Levi is more morally correct than Shimon? It's not true. You guys are immoral. I also want to be immoral. I also want to sin. Amru, so the people said, Hanicholai, leave him go. He's one of us. Afulas yisrachim nichnas. He's also doing, he wants to commit an act of immorality. So what happened? In Tiru, they let him in. And then they said, Hitiru Purushin is a davar. Even the abstiners permitted the ruling. Okay? Meaning, if Pinchas could do this, the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, for sure we could do it. Okay, so then Pinchas got in, and once he got in, he put the metal back onto the spear, and he killed Zimri.
It's like the way Caleb started his speech.
Yeah, the way Caleb started the speech. Yes, 100%. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Shisha Nisim Nasal Lil Pinchas. Six miracles happened that moment with Pinchas. When he killed Zimri, six miracles happened at that time. What were the six miracles? Echad Shahayalay Lazim Lifrish Vali Pirush. Okay, not to get too graphic. The only time you're allowed to kill the guy is if he's in the middle of the act. Once he gets back off the act, then you can't kill him anymore. And in fact, if you kill him, then you're a murderer. Then you can get killed. So number one, Shahayalay Lazim Lifrish Vali Pirush. All Zimri had to do was separate himself from the Shiksa. And he didn't. Another miracle happened. Zimri could have screamed to the people from Shimon, help. He could have screamed, help.
Right, excuse me, was Zimri facing downwards or upwards where he could see the statue?
I didn't ask him. Echad shekivim bezrucho shel ish v'nekvasi shel isha. That when Pinchas plunged the sword, it went into the male and female genital organs. That means he killed them both. Another thing that Zimri and Cosby was the shiksa, did not get off, move away from the spear. In other words, Pinchas was able to walk in with the spear vertical. So he says, the malach came when he went into the room. The Malach picked up the doorpost, the lentil, that he should be able to walk in vertically.
They were in a tent?
Yeah. But oil, he says. And the final miracle was that the Malach Amavis came and started killing people. So therefore, the tribe of Shimon was too messed up to kill Pinchas. So these are six miracles that happened at the moment Pinchas killed Zimri. Huh? Bay Bay's on mid Bay's, like 10 lines down by now. So then it says, so now, Lepoil, the way the Gemara tells the story, Cosby and Zimri were still on the spear. In other words, like this, he walked out, he stuck the spear into them, okay? And he wanted to walk out. So if it would be horizontal, they might fall off the spear. So the Malach Amavis came, he was able to walk out with it vertically, that they shouldn't fall off the spear. And he brought them to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Was that strong?
Obviously.
Yeah, the fact that he could pick up two people like that.
He was strong. Miracle too. So now Pinchas came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, no, I'm sorry. He put him down before Hashem.
It has to be horizontal or an angle.
No, the Gemara says it was vertical. The miracle was it was vertical.
If it's vertical, the weight, the two bodies will go down.
No. No, not no.
You went all the way
to you ever eight. Stick a knife into a piece of steak?
Yes.
It's not going to fall off.
If it goes through and the steak is heavy, you flip it the other right. way.
No, it's not going to happen. It didn't happen. What's the difference?
Okay, all right.
Okay, Baruch HaBotav Ne'amokim. Pinchas then put down Zimni and Cosby in front of Hashem. Amar Lefanov, so Pinchas said like this. Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Al Eila Yiplu Esrim V'Arba Elav Mi'Yisrael. Is it just that because of these two people, 24,000 Jews should die? It's not right. Because of Zimni and Cosby's story, the Pasuk says 24,000 Jews died. Right? He says, not fair. Shenamad. How many people died in the plague? 24,000. Like it says, that's why it says, Vayamid Pinchas Vayefalel. Pinchas got up and he davened. Simply Vayefalel means he davened. But the Gemara says, Omer Abelazar Vayispalel Loinamar. It should have said Vayispalel, not Vayefalel. Right?
What's the difference?
Davening is Vayispalel, Tfilah. But the Pasuk doesn't say Vayispalo. It said Vayifalo mean Plila also means fighting. So he said he was fighting with Hashem. Vayamid Pinchas, Vayifalel, it doesn't mean he davened to Hashem. He was arguing with Hashem, why did you kill 24,000 people? Because of these two people.
It wasn't just because of them. It was all the, I mean, a lot of men.
The epidemic happened after the Cosby story. After the Zimri story. Eleva Yefalel, Malamich Kaviyachol, it means, so to speak, that Hashem and Pinchas made a fight with Hashem, arguing why did Hashem punish 24,000 Jews? It's not fair. So then it says like this. Bikshu Malachi Yeshar Sadochvei. The Malachim wanted to push, because he was speaking Chutzpah Dikta Hashem. Right, Pinchas speaking said, because of these two people, you killed. Who gave you the right to kill 24,000 people because of these two? So the Malachim in heaven came and pushed him away. They wanted to push him away.
Kill him or push him?
No, just what do you argue? You don't talk like that to Hashem. Amalehen, so Hashem said to them, "Anichulei, leave him alone." Kanoi ben Kanoihu, he's a zealous, the son of a zealous. Okay, why? Pinchas was from Shevet Levi. Levi avenged by Dina's story, Shimon and Levi. So he says, leave him, it's in his DNA. He's zealous, the son of a zealous. Meshiv Chema is a deflector of wrath, the son of a deflector of wrath. Okay?
Is this where we get that the Kohanim have like an extra... Like,
no, it's Gemara says, Kanoim get angry fast. That's what it says. Kohanim get angry fast. They have an anger, temper. No, it's not the zealousness.
Who gets angry fast?
Kohanim.
But they are chesed. How do they get angry fast?
Yeah, ask Magnus.
You can have chesed.
And what's the difference? You could be a kind person,
yeah,
still get angry.
In a previous lecture, you said that we're here to fix army
book. Okay. So, yeah, but this is Kedusha. This is not Stam anger. Okay. Therefore, there's halacha when a kohen writes a get, they don't do it anymore. In the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch it says that there's a special get because kohenim have tempers and they get very angry. So, and once a kohen divorces his wife, he cannot remarry her because she's a divorcee. Right? Like this, if the wife doesn't remarry anybody else, it's a mitzvah to remarry her. But Lepril. Here, she married, she was a kind of divorce, so he can't even remarry his own wife, right? So he used to make a very long process get.
For a kohen.
Huh?
For a kohen.
For a kohen. So first they would write a line, and then they would sign it, they fold it, and the witnesses would sign. They would write another line and fold it, and the witnesses would sign. Until he calms down. Hopefully by then...
Changes his mind.
What's the name of that get? It's a special name for it, right?
Get Makushar.
It's not Shaykh anymore?
No, they don't do anymore.
Now, is it better for a Cohen who's divorced, who is currently with a divorced woman, to get married?
No.
Or is it better for him just to have relations with him? That's
no.
Seed in vain. So what is he supposed to do?
Separate himself from him. Get a Pinchas guy coming. So now the Pinchas, Pinchas killed Zimri, right? So now, Pinchas at this time was a nobody. I mean, he was Aaron's grandson, but he wasn't a Kohen. Because right? When Aaron, it's also very important to know, Aaron a Kohen, when he became a Kohen with his four sons, before Nadav and Avihu died, so Hashem made them Kohenim, and he said to them, any future children are also Kohenim. Okay? Pinchas, though, was already born.
Yeah.
So Pinchas really never became a Kohen. So he was like, he was nobody. Yeah, as Aaron's grandson, he had a great grandfather, or a Lazar Kohen, but he wasn't anybody special. So the Shvatim started making fun of him. What did they do? The East and Ben Puti Azeh. Look at this Puti, they called him. What is Puti is? Shapitam avi ime agolim lavedazara. Lavedaz kechovim. He was a descendant of he married Yisra's kids. I'm sorry. Elazar took Mibnez Putil. It says Elazar Akain married one of Yisra's descendants, whether a daughter, granddaughter, it doesn't matter. So Yisra used to worship all the idols in the world. Right? So they said, who do you think you are? Your grandfather was worshipping idols, so what are you mixing in here?
Fattened cows.
But that was through his mom. Shabit, so what? Avi Ima. So what? He stole his mother's father. Bahad Agnasi Shavit Mi Yisrael, and this guy is killing a leader? No, who do you think you are? Your grandfather was worshiping fattening calves, Ravei Dezada, and you are killing a Jewish leader. So it said, because of Yahseh, the Torah comes and gives him a yich, the lineage. What does it say? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akain. So the Torah says, forget Yisrael. First of all, Yisrael is always a great guy. He did tshuva. He became a very great person. But the Torah says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Meisha. Okay? Hashem said to Meisha Rabbeinu, Hakdim li Shalom. You are to give him Shalom. In other words, you're supposed to be Mekad of him. L'chein emet, and therefore Hashem said, and Einini Neisin Leir B'risi Shalom. I'm giving him a covenant of peace. In other words, and the Rebbe explains this a lot of times, bottom line, Pinchas, through his zealous act, not only did he not make a fight, he brought peace. He didn't necessarily have B'risi Shalom. Sometimes people think, how can I be zealous? It's going to be a fight, and this and that. You see from Pinchas, he was zealous, but that's what brought the peace. He stopped the epidemic. Okay. And it says, Gemara continues, it says, Ru'uya kaparis du. This forgiveness, atonement that Pinchas did is good for him. Shetei mechaperis ve'elechus le'elam. He should be always at peace. Meaning, number one, not only is he becoming a Kohen, so now Pinchas became a Kohen, and all his descendants became Kohenim. Right? You know, it's interesting. When the Torah speaks about all these bad guys, yeah, they were all great people. The famous Yeravim ben Nevat, yeah, that made everybody sin. The Gemara says nobody was in learning as great as him. Korach, people think Korach was this. Korach was a very great man. They all just messed up a little bit. But these are super, super great people that they're talking about. Even Avshalom, yeah? Avshalom, David HaMelech's son, that rebelled against him and started this whole thing, right? Against David HaMelech. He was a Nazir. He was a Nazir. He was a very great man.
That's why he had long hair?
Yeah.
Begashmir, not Beshoresh, right? Not like Laban.
No, down here there were super great people.
Because the Beshoresh were great.
But they messed up. Kairach messed up, and whatever. Zimri was the head of Shimon. They didn't pick leaders of the Shvatim, as we know, Yukals. I mean, there were very great tzaddikim that were fit to be the head of the Shimon, head of the tribe.
Rabbi, what? When Pinchas's kids became Kohanim as well, is that the ones that are also living, or only from now on the ones that are born?
It implies that he didn't have kids yet. That's what the implication is. That maybe he did, but I don't know.
Did the children of Aaron have any other children? I mean,
none of the Naviel didn't have children.
I know, but Elazar and...
Isamar? Yeah, sure they had children.
Okay, so only Pinchas became Kohanim.
Because Elazar's other children, future children, did become, were automatically Kohanim. Now, did he have? It's very possible he had. I don't know. You have to look in the names and Devi Yom, and who else they had as kids. But, listen, a lot of people that had kids in Torah are not mentioned because they're not relevant.
Like Moshe Rabbeinu to the sons.
Well, it says when they were born, Gershom and Eliezer. But,
so Pinchas was from one side, he was from Yisrael?
Elazar's wife was from Yisrael's descendants.
Okay, and from the other side, Yosef?
Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen.
I know, but Pit, Yisrael,
is Yisrael.
No. Okay, so
what? Beit HaMaved Azara is Yisrael. His mother came from Yisrael, his father came from Aaron HaKohen. I mean, his father was Aaron HaKohen's son. His mother was a descendant of Yisrael. So Elazar and Moshe Rabbeinu, besides being uncle and nephew, but they were really related through the wives also.
Didn't Aaron HaKohen marry one of his daughters too?
No.
Huh?
No. Aaron married Elisheva Basaminadav. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen was a brother-in-law with Kalev.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, Nachshon Aminadav. Nachshon Aminadav. Kalev was Moshe Rabbeinu's brother.
Brother?
In-law.
In-law.
I said brother, I'm sorry, I meant brother-in-law. Kalev was Moshe Rabbeinu's brother-in-law. He married Miriam.
Chor was...
son of Miriam. Chor was Moshe Rabbeinu's nephew. Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with Yosef. It was Pitpit.
No.
It does, because it says...
Not the Gemara says it. It's a Medrash that says that, but the Gemara here says only Yisrei.
So Itamar is... His uncle, Pinchas' uncle.
Yeah.
Well, because the maternal grandparents.
Moshe Rabbeinu was his great uncle. I mean, so?
There's no mention of.
What?
If you go according to the Midrash, there's no genealogy between Yosef and Elazar.
No.
And Pinchas.
Rashi brings down a Chumash that it could be that.
Okay, it's hard to.
It's the Gemara in Saita also. The Gemara says in Saita that if his mother was this, his father was this, whatever, they connected to Yosef and. And it could be through the women.
Yeah, it was a wife.
It's possible that one of the mothers...
Here the Gemara just says Yisrael. It doesn't mean...
Because the maternal grandparents, there was one from Yisrael, the other one was from Yosef, and then they had a daughter.
It could be. It could be that one of his grandmothers...
It's from
Yosef. Yeah, Saita also says it. But here the Gemara, basically, the way the Mefarshim learned it was...
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same neshama, so the question is.
Isn't the Moshiach supposed to come from Pinchas?
No.
Yehuda.
Shia comes from Yehuda. What's interesting, it says, while we're going off topic anyway, Pinchas Zeh Eliyahu.
Yeah.
Right? So the Rebbe has, and this back a look at the Sikh, it's a very interesting thing. The Rebbe has in a letter, somebody asked, L'cha'era, it should say Eliyahu Zeh Pinchas. Who was first? Pinchas. So now you come to Eliyahu HaNavi, you say, who's Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi is Pinchas. It doesn't say Eliyahu's a Pinchas. It says Pinchas Eliyahu. So they asked the Rebbe why it should say Eliyahu's a Pinchas. So the Rebbe brings down like a bunch of answers there. One answer is, and the Rebbe quotes, there are places that say Eliyahu's a Pinchas, by the way. The Rebbe brings down in the letter, that place, let's say, Eliezer Pinchas. So Rebbe says like this. Number one, when you're talking about Pinchas, you say Pinchas is Eliyahu. When you talk about Eliyahu, you say Eliyahu is Pinchas. Depends what you're talking about. But then the Rebbe says an interesting thing. That Pinchas Eliyahu, in fact, when the Rebbe went to be Menachem Avol the Rashag, it was up there then, they got in as a bach or whatever, it's got in. The Rebbe went to an older Bachum eating the supper, because otherwise he knew everybody would go up there. So all the Bachum didn't know about it, and the Rebbe went upstairs. Somebody happened to tell me that the Rebbe went upstairs, so he got in. So Rashag asked the Rebbe, because according to Bali Nigla, according to the Gemara people, there's no concept of reincarnation of neshamas. There's the Arizal came up with the concept of Gilgal neshamas. The Bali Nigla are adamantly, the Poskim are adamantly against the concept of Gilgal. They say there's no such thing. So Rashag, when the Rebbe went to Menachem Avol, Rashag asked the Rebbe, it's already printed also in Menachem Sien. So he asked the Rebbe, L'chayre Pinchas Eliyahu should prove Gilgal.
Good question.
L'chayre, that should prove Gilgal. So the Rebbe said, no, in Pshat, Pinchas lived long and he was Eliyahu Navi. He just had a name change, but it was the same physical guy. That's the Rebbe said, Pshat, Pinchas Eliyahu means, so the Rashag said, how did he live so long? So the Rebbe started quoting people that lived longer. It's a few hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
So
we are
no Gilgal?
I don't understand. No, there is Gilgal. Yeah, trust me. I know who you're a Gilgal lover. You don't want to hear who I think it is.
It says Ze Eliyahu, not Zu. Ze.
But the Rebbe says another thing, and answering Pinchas Eliyahu, by the way. The Rebbe says that before Pinchas was Pinchas, he was a Malach called Eliyahu. Then he became a person called Pinchas. Then he became Eliyahu, eventually became a Malach. The Rebbe quotes sources for that. In Zayah, I think I remember where. So, the Rebbe says that initially Pinchas Eliyahu, because Eliyahu Tak was first, as a Malach, as an angel. Then that angel became a person called Pinchas. The Neshama came down into a Guf, and then Pinchas became Eliyahu.
Can we say, since Eliyahu Navi is going to herald the coming of Mashiach, so Pinchas, by his act at that time, since he's Eliyahu, he...
Yeah, but understand, but L'chayre, I wouldn't call grammar, in history, you have to say Eliyahu is Pinchas, not Pinchas is Eliyahu.
It's a man. Yeah, it's a matter of time.
You say Rashbi was the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't say Moshe Rabbeinu was the Neshama of Rashbi.
Well, you just said it's the same Neshama.
Yeah, but the question, who was first? But the Rebbe says in Pshat, Pinchas Eliyahu could mean that the Bush should live that long.
He changed his name?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he went bankrupt and he had to start a new business, so he changed his name.
Well, Rashag is the father of the man who sold the books?
Yeah. Okay.
Who passed away? That he was Menachem Avol? Who of Rashag's family would pass away?
His mother lived very long. I think it was his mother or that was a sister. Sister, I remember. He sat Shiva twice in the later. It's going back a long time. This is 45 years, 44 years ago, when the Rebbe went to Menachem Avol. I know because I was a bach before I got married. I know how long it was.
And Rashag was on the side of Rebbe.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's go. Amir Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Amir Rav, the name of Rav. My dechziv. What is this that it says in the pasuk?" Zarzir Masnayim, an animal that possesses rigorous loins, or a male goat, or a king against whom there's no rising up. Okay, what does this pasuk mean? Where's this pasuk? In Mishlei. So he says like this, Arba meres v'esin v'arba be'ilis bol eser oshavayim. Zimri lived with this woman 424 times in that day.
Wow.
Because that's the numerical widower Zarzir. Okay? Now, the Mefarshim explained at the bottom, it didn't happen that many times, but he had a desire to do that many times.
Okay.
And therefore Pinchas waited until he became weak from so many times being with the Shiksa. But Pinchas didn't know that that Hashem was with him. Okay, meaning, what's Elkum? Kale? Kum. Hashem got up and stood up with him. But Masnita Tanin, in Hebrew it says, Shishim, 60 times. He lived with her. At Shinasi Kabam Azaris, that his testicles became like an addled egg. V'yoysa Barugam Le'amayim, and she was like a garden bed filled with water for the amount of Zeta of the seed that she got from him. This is obviously not necessarily literally, but it's the meaning of it. Amen Avkahana, Avkahana said, Umeshe Bayisah, and the Pasuk says, Cosby seat, meaning her bottom, became the size of a Bayisah, Tana V'yaviyasev, Kevesh Shula Amma. The size of her opening of the womb was an Amma big. Okay, so don't publicize it. Okay, so now the Gemara continues like this. Amen Rav Sheshe says, like Cosby Shema. Her name was not even Cosby. Ella Shvilnoi Basur Shema. Her name was Shvilnoi. This is obviously given Teresh about Perfumation of Bain and Arsina, because it doesn't say this anywhere.
All these Cosbys are mischievous.
Cosby's?
Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Good. Ella Shevilnoi Basur Shema. V'nama Nika Shema Cosby. So why was she called Cosby? She Kozva Ba'aviyah. She disobeyed. Kozva means like rebellious. She disobeyed her father. Why? Because her father said to Cosby, again, she was the princess of the king. The Gemara mentioned this before. So Cosby told her, you only go to the top Meshe Rabbeinu, nobody else. So Zimri came and told her, I'm also a big macher. Okay? So why was she called Cosby? Because she disobeyed her father. Her father said, only do it to the Meshe Rabbeinu, she went to Shem. Davar Acher. Cosby, why was she called Cosby? She'am l'laviyah. And she said to her father, Cosby Amza, chew up this nation through me. Meaning, she said she wants to be the agent to destroy the Jewish people. So Cosby means to destroy the Jewish people, be through me. Behind the Domini Inchi, this is what people say about immoral women. Ben Konela Urbani, Shvilna my boy. What is Shvilnoi doing between the reeds and the rushes of the ponds? Meaning, what is she doing in the secluded spot? Meaning, what it means is if a woman is in a secluded spot, it means she's probably doing something wrong, immoral. So that's why, but they use the word Shvilna, because what was her name? Shvilnoi. So therefore, it refers to her. Naphtali image, she is prostituted her mother there. What?
What about a man who's secluded? Why is the woman secluded?
Because the women are called prostitute harlots. I mean, well, that. Okay. Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says like this. Chamisha Shemes Yashli. Zimri had five names. Yashloi.
Zimri was the Shimon guy,
yeah. Chamish Shemes Yeshli. Zimri ben Sol, Vishol, Uben Knanis, Ushomil ben Suri Shaddai. Okay? And the Gemara explains why he's called all those names. Zimri, like the Gemara just said, Al Shinase Kabe Amazer, his testicles became like an addled egg. Ben Solo, Hal Shehisli Avena Shomishbachti. He caused the people to speak about the sins of his family. About how about the adult? Like the Gemara says, if there's a bad seed, right, everybody's spoken about in the negative way. Shol, why was it Shol? Shal shehish shal atzmi l'dvar aveda. He lent himself out to do sin. Ben Aknanis, why was he called Ben Aknanis? Shasa maise kanan. He did what Canaan, meaning what Chom, right, did in the... What he did to Noach. Umashamai, what was his real name? Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai Shmai. His name was really Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai. By the way, this is by in Pashas Nasi by the Kabbanis. Shlumiel ben Tzvi Shaddai was the head of Shimon.
Yeah.
So Gemara says his real name was Shlumiel ben Tzvi Shaddai, not Zimri. All the other names came because of what he did.
Did Chamos have relations in the Teva?
Mm-hmm.
Shaul ben Akhnanis was the daughter of...
Two different people. Shaul ben Akhnanis.
Oh, that's
yeah, here the Gemara says not Shaul ben Akhnanis. Shaul, and he was also called ben Akhnanis. Okay, next part of the Mishnah.
Why was he called Shaul?
Huh? Because he Shaul borrowed. He lent himself out to sin. Why did he do it? Peer pressure. If you think about it, we learned before in the Gemara, the whole tribe of Shimon came to say, you're not doing anything. Why don't you stick up for us? Right? I mean, he wasn't shaykh to do such a thing. But he felt the peer pressure of his tribe and he went and did something wrong. And look what happened from it. Moral of the story, don't fall to peer pressure.
He was trying to make a point, though. That's why he took a girl from another nation.
He took make a point just to stick up for his tribe against Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody screamed at him, look what you're doing. Yeah? All the people that elected him. I say...
A Nazi shouldn't fall to peer pressure. I mean...
That was his Aveda. He felt the peer pressure. That's what I'm saying. Shlumiel ben Tzvi Shaddai, again, if he was ahead of Shimon, he was a tzaddik.
Right.
So what happened all of a sudden? So the Gemara says, the whole tribe came in and said, what are you doing? You're not sticking up for us. Okay, then it says like this. Kain in the Mishnah it said, Kain shishimish batumam, a Kain that served when he was tamei, he said, the Beis Din didn't kill him. The young Kainim, remember the 13 to 20 year olds,
yeah.
Took him out and they killed him. He cracked his skull open. Okay. Huh? A kohen that served in the Beis Hamikdash when he was tummy. Okay, so now the Gemara said... What?
We're going back to the previous Inyan.
No, now the Gemara is explaining the next part of the Mishnah. Boy, minei rav acha baronim rav sheshes, kohen sheshimish betumah, what's taka the din? Chayim mitzvah b'dei shemayim, or ein chayim mitzvah b'dei shemayim? So the question is like this. What did the Mishnah say they did? The young Kayim took him out and ripped open his head, yeah? But Leper, what's the din? Does he get Misa B'dei Shemayim or doesn't he get Misa B'dei Shemayim? If the Kayim didn't do anything to him, yeah? Our Malay, he said to Nisua, we learned it. What do we learn? In our Mishnah, it says, Kayim Shishimish Batuma, a Kayim that... served when he was Tomei, in Elchav HaKoyanim Avin Eisi LeBezdin. The Koyanim brothers don't bring him to Bezdin, Ele Pirche Kuhuna Meitzin Eisi Chutz LaZara. They took him out of the Azara, Peit, and Esmeich HaBigzin, they, with clubs, these cracked his head open. Ease out the Gedaitach, the Mechai B'dei Shemayim, if you're going to say, yeah, that Hashem kills them, why did they have to kill him? Hashem will kill him. Why are they mixing into God's business? In other words, this is similar to the Pinchas story. Al Pidin, a Baal Aramis, you can't kill him. If he's after the act already. Right? So Pinchas was a Kanoi, he did it. Which Allah allows. But the Gemara says like this, the young Kayanim took the guy... took him out of the Zohar, cracked his head open. So obviously, he's not supposed to die. Because if he's supposed to die, why are the Kohenim killing him? Let Hashem deal with it. Bezdin, whatever, let them deal with it. Why is he doing it? So the Gemara says, Elamai ain't a chayiv. So what are you going to say? He's not chayiv Misa. It doesn't make sense. Mi'ikimida rachmana pativa nan nekim v'nigdalei. So the Gemara asked in the reverse. And if he doesn't get Misa B'dei Shemayim, so who gives a Kohenim a right to kill him? Who gives him a right to kill him? So the Gemara says, either way, it doesn't make sense. If he is Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim, so why does the Kohenim have to kill him? Hashem will kill him and finish. If he doesn't get Misa, where do we get a right to kill somebody who's not Chayv Misa? So the Gemara says, no, we do find it, what we learned before in the Mishnah. Oh, Tanah, we learned before in the Mishnah, Mishalok of Ashan. Remember a guy that did Aveiros that keeps getting Malkus. So what do they do? Beds of Machni Yisrael, so they keep it. You bring him into a cell to die. Yeah? So again, the Gemara asks, it's the same case. The Torah says he only gets Malkus, right? He ate treif. And we're going to kill him? But the Gemara answers, but that's not what Rish Lakish said before. Remember, Rish Lakish said, speaking of Aved of Kodis. And the din is, whoever is supposed to get Kodis, Bezdin gives him Malkus. But what's the punishment? The punishment is Kodis. But Malkus shook the Gava Bakotolo. Anyway, he's Chayiv Misa. Okay, so the Gemara says, so now we're stuck. What's Rav Acha asking over here? So the Gemara says, okay, in Kasa, but it also says in the Mishnah, if somebody steals a vessel, which is from the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohenim could kill him. Yeah? So the Gemara again says, you kill somebody for stealing? Right? Why can the zealous people kill a guy who stole from the Beis HaMikdash, a Klei Shoris? You can't kill an innocent guy. So why says no? Speaking, not Stam, he stole from the Beis HaMikdash. He stole a vessel which is used in the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't steal from the treasury. He stole from an actual and the hint to it is, and it says, you should not come and look as a holy inserted, lest they die. And the Mefarshim explained, what does this mean? It shows that certain vessels, Kedish, Vamesu. That means he is liable to get killed. But
I can be certain that someone is Tame.
They know he's Tame. They saw that he got Tame.
He touched a dead person?
Or whatever. They knew he was Tame.
And he
told them he was Tame.
Isn't it chaotic to allow young Kanim to just bring him out and kill him? No prosecution, no witnesses, no...
These kids are told to do this, or they do it
on their own?
No warning.
It doesn't say they were told to do it.
No warning, no witnesses, no prosecution.
Zimri was warned?
I'm just saying, the Torah allows them to take the matter into their own hand.
Yeah. When it comes... No. Pinchas.
Pinchas was one in a century.
So young Kohenim.
He was the president of.
Why did Eibishter make that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it and Pinchas did it? Think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu should have done it. So the Rebbe explains in the Sicha, sometimes he comes to zealousness for Hashem, he can't say, why, where the leader is doing it. People should do it. But, Pinchas first got permission though. He didn't do it on his own. A lot of times, zealous people just do things on their own. They're crazy. Pinchas got permission to do it.
But indirectly, too.
But, okay, but he got permission. Moshe Rabbeinu said, go do it. Not Stama, he decided to kill people and I'm zealous and going to go kill people.
Why indirectly?
Can't do it.
So you should ask or you shouldn't ask?
Pinchas asked.
I know, but then he was told, don't ask.
No, he wasn't told, don't ask.